moment you've all been waiting for.
You what? Well,
that hit the spot.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of The Gosscast. I am in my living room with actual podcast equipment, so I'm hoping I sound a little bit better this week. Kendra, are you back in your room?
Yeah, I'm in my room at my desk. Recording on my phone.
Recording on your
phone. I do not have podcast equipment right now, but I'm hoping I sound okay.
We'll have a microphone and a stand. It's actually really cute. It's like a little mini studio, but we'll see how the sound actually comes across like. But yeah, this week, before we get into all the hot tea and the goss, we wanted to talk about a brand new campaign that we're launching, which we're so excited about, called Goss Gives Back. So we are teaming up with three different extraordinary Irish charities who are really doing their bit during the coronavirus outbreak. So we're going to be working with Pieta House, the Matter Foundation, and Feed the Heroes. And Kendra and I especially have always wanted to work with Pieta House, so delighted that we get to team up with them on something. So basically, we're going to be running some really fun live events through our Instagram, through social media, through TikTok, through a bit of everything. And every time we do an event, we're going to be asking people to contribute what they can to our Goss Gives Back campaign, and we're going to then split three ways all the funds raised between them. So Pieta House, if you don't know much about them, they are basically Ireland's national suicide prevention charity. And obviously this year they had to cancel their Darkness Into Light walk. Have you ever done that, Kendra?
No, I actually haven't, but I've always wanted to do it. I'll definitely be doing it next year.
It's so emotional. It's so good. But like, I did it in Phoenix Park last year. And you started at like 4 a.m. and it's so dark. Like, you're walking through Phoenix Park and it's so dark and there's all these people and everyone's kind of in black and it's just dark and kind of dreary. But then you start, as you walk, there's like candles laid out that like read in the word hope. And like, as you go forward, there's all these like really hopeful things. And then suddenly the sun starts to rise. It's so insane.
Oh my god, amazing.
Yeah, but it's really meaningful. And like, people that are walking, they're wearing jumpers and t-shirts with like people they lost to suicide on them. But like, as it starts off so cold and dark, and then when you get towards the end, it's like this beautiful day and the sun is rising and everyone's smiling and happy. So it's really like metaphorical for what they represent, which is, you know, the light at the end of the tunnel. You know, people reaching out to people. And I know, especially during what's going on at the moment, anyone with mental health issues, you know, there's a big concern because a lot of people that are having issues maybe are now stuck at home, which they weren't before. They're alone with their own thoughts. They're alone with their own head. So we really want to do as much as we can to help support the charity and keep the helpline going. And everything that they're doing is so amazing. And their helpline is still open. So if you need to talk, like, definitely get in touch with them. And then as well as Pieta House, we have the Matter Foundation. So you might have seen on goss.ie that we did a story about Claudine and her husband, Robbie Keane. They did a fundraiser for Help Our Heroes. So that's with the Matter Foundation. So the Help Our Heroes campaign basically distributes the funds amongst 12 different hospitals in Ireland. So the Matter Hospital is like the main hospital that's dealing with the COVID-19 crisis, and they have like a huge lungs department. So like, a lot of people are going there. So they're like the most in need for the equipment, but they're also going to spread the funds around. And then lastly, we have Feed the Heroes, which is another campaign that's focused on the frontline workers, on feeding them. I know it sounds so ridiculous, but if you think about the amount of people that are doing back-to-back shifts, or they're getting up really early, or they're going home really late, they're not getting time to cook for themselves. So this is to get nutritious, like really good food, free of cost to frontline workers. So there are three really, really good charities, and we're going to do some really fun things to get people to donate. And there'll be prizes along the way and all that kind of stuff. So yeah. I'm hoping that people take part, and we really want to give back as much as we can, given all that's going on at the moment.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I'm so excited. But we'll start with the podcast now and into Spill on the Tea.
The best things that we do in life.
The best thing that we do. That's the thing. I feel like through this, we have just been like, let's entertain. You know, that's been our focus. So, like, obviously, when it all started, I wanted us to give back and do something with charity, but at the same time I was like, I want people to have an escape and like enjoy, and like, I think people are liking that we're still doing the entertainment stories, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And still, we've loved doing them as well.
Yeah. But sorry, I wanted to start off actually with Matt Damon, our fave Irishman. Matt O'Damon.
We've like talked about Matt Damon so much on this podcast.
I just love him. Matt O'Damon. So I don't know if you saw, but basically this like Facebook group went viral during the week because a reporter from the New York Times got into like this Dalkey Facebook group. So if you didn't know, Matt Damon has been isolating in Dalkey in Dublin, right? So basically they got into a Facebook group, which is like the Dalkey community. And the journalist posted in it and was like, hey, like, I hope you don't mind me interrupting your group, like, you know, coming into your group when I'm not from Dalkey. But I really want to find some information on Matt Damon. Like, what's he doing? What's he up to? Blah, blah, blah. And the responses were so goss.
They're so funny.
They were literally like, ah, leave him alone. Leave him off. It was so funny. So it was a reporter from the New York Times and her name actually is Heather Murphy, so I'm wondering, is there a bit of Irish in her too?
So
she published the New York Times article this week, and in it she said that, like, you know, there was sightings of him in what we call Ireland's Amalfi Coast. And I don't know, do we call Dalkey and Killiney that?
Oh my god, I've never heard that before. Oh my god,
never heard that. But she talked about the Super Value bag. Like, I mean, honestly, Super Value could not pay for the publicity they're after getting.
Oh,
like,
it's amazing endorsement. Oh my god,
like New York Times. And in the piece they're like, Mr. Damon's choice to stay put rather than returning to his $16.7 million Brooklyn penthouse, like, how bizarre. But obviously I didn't actually know Brooklyn was where he lived. Now it makes way more sense they didn't go back, because New York is obviously,
yeah, so bad at the moment.
So she wrote in the article that Mr. Damon has found a relatively safe new home because his new admirers are an army of protectors. And she said, this was made clear when the New York Times reporter assigned to write this, and then in brackets she goes, me, for better or worse, requested antidotes via the town's Facebook page. And she wrote in some of the replies. So one of them was, leave him be. She said that was one of the main things she got. Then other people were just literally like, ah, leave him alone. And basically she was saying that the reason everyone's been saying that is that they want to protect Matt, and that's maybe why Matt is still here, because people aren't asking for photos, people are leaving them alone. Like, for the New York Times to try and get a story, and she didn't want any dirt. Like, I saw her post in the group, it was like, oh, we'd love some little antidotes. They were like, leave him alone.
I think Ireland is kind of famous for doing that with celebs. Like, remember that famous moment when Beyonce and Jay-Z were in Phoenix Park and like no one even went near them.
No one went near them. Like, bizarre. Yeah, I don't know. And like, it's weird because I remember seeing before, like, Justin Bieber when he was here. Do you remember all the photos of Grafton Street? It was like madness.
Pandemonium. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just so crazy. But I feel like that was like a once-off situation, because maybe it's because he had tweeny bop fans, because I think the older Hollywood stars, they kind of get left alone. Like, I know sometimes we photograph them, but I haven't actually seen any pap shots of Matt. And like, there are paparazzi still going in Dublin. Do you know what I mean? They're still around. So I don't know what he's done, or is there literally every Dalkey native standing outside his gaff being like, leave him alone.
With like torches being like, stay away.
Stay away. So yeah, and in the article she said that he's now been adopted as Matt O'Damon.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
Yeah, but the movie, right, which was called The Last Duel, they're now saying that, like, it's The Last Duel, isn't it? Now saying that it's like probably going to be completely postponed. So like, the movie he came to make in Ireland, the reason he's here is like not going ahead. So like, literally here for no reason. But obviously May 5th, we're going to find out soon in the next week or so what restrictions are going to be lifted. I don't know, I wonder will he go back. But knowing now that his home is in Brooklyn, like, I wouldn't go back to Brooklyn right now.
No, certainly not. Well, like, by the time he actually films the movie, he'll be fairly comfortable here anyway. Yeah. My God, he'll have, like, a whole new group of friends, Dalkey friends, you know?
Like, will he get an Irish passport? Like, I feel like President Michael D would be like, Grant, no problem. Let's make you an honorary Irishman. I wonder, has he ever got, you know, that award from Trinity? loads of people. Oh my god! That. It's like an honorary doctorate or whatever.
He'll probably be given like a key to Dublin City or something.
No, a key just to Docky, to like the local cafes. But like fact that the New York Times are calling it Ireland's Amalfi Coast, like I feel like when this is over and travel like comes back, there's going to be like a Matt Damon cafe. It'll be like the Obama Plaza. There's going to be Damon. What would be a good one? Damon.
There should
Lane,
be like a statue of him, like
with the super value bag.
With the super value bag, like standing by the sea. Where is that place where he was swimming? Is that a famous swimming spot?
Yeah, I think so. Between Docky and there's so many places around there between Docky and Killiney. No, what I was going to ask is, what is Super Value's slogan? I'm just looking it up now because I want to know.
Oh God! Well, it's probably
real
something
food
about
for
value.
Real people.
Oh,
I think is what it says. So you could be like celeb food for celeb people. I don't know. I don't know, but I love it.
Real food.
I'm Team Matt, and actually, Paddy Power sent out a press release this week saying that they're like slashing odds that Matt is set to appear in The Late Late, but like honestly I don't think he will. I think he's genuinely just chilling out, but I wouldn't be surprised like after this is all over when he goes back to America and he's on like Jimmy Fallon or something. I feel like he's gonna have all these stories about
100%. Yeah,
because even in the New York Times piece, one of the people that did actually speak to that poor reporter said that she had like left food for him at his door, like, you know, that kind of burger box thing that's going around at the moment. So restaurants,
oh my God,
like,
stop.
Used to, yeah, so like restaurants used to make burgers or make pizzas. There's loads of them on a website called stuffyouneed.ie. They're mainly just doing Greystones in Dublin right now, but basically they deliver to your house and you can make your own burger, make your own pizza. But this woman said she left it at his house, so I'm like, is he making these burgers? Like, there's so many questions I have.
So many questions. And the fact that like they all clearly know like where he's at, like where his house is, and like people are just leaving him alone.
Yeah, because it's like a famous house, like loads of people have stayed there over the years. There's actually loads of pap shots from there. That's why it's weird that there's no pap shots of him. So I don't know, has paparazzi here just decided to leave him alone too, or is he just not really going out? But like everybody knows where that house is. It's like,
what is so special about this gaff? And you'd think they would change where they stay because it's like so well known now that celebrities stay there.
But clearly all the Docky natives leave them alone. It must be going round. Like the news, like they must be getting told.
Like, oh, Docky's place to go.
Yeah. I can't remember. I feel like someone famous owns it. I really should know this. Someone famous owns it or someone, I can't
is
remember.
Is what's his name? Eddie Irvine.
I don't know. I'm too scared to say in case it's
he
wrong.
He has some sort of famous house that was like used for something. That name just came to mind.
Yeah, no, they basically, loads of famous Irish people have houses there, you see. They all kind of do. Like, the rich and famous kind of make Docky their home, do you know? Because, well, apparently it's the Amalfi Coast of Ireland, first of all. But also people do leave them alone. So like Bono and The Edge, they both live in Docky. Who else lives out there? Damon Hill and his wife, Formula One driver Eddie Irvine. Yeah,
maybe it is that. I don't know, because I remember seeing pictures of it before and recognizing it.
Yeah, like some people that have rented there before, right? Pierce Brosnan and Mel Gibson, they both rented there before. One of the Coen brothers rented there before. So yeah, it's a very popular place. So, but there's this obviously this one special house. Like Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds stayed in it, I'm pretty sure, as well. So it's obviously a nice gaff.
It's
anyway.
The place to be, clearly.
It's the place to be. When this is over, I'm like going on my hauls to Docky.
We should actually go and like scope it out. Obviously not scope when people are staying there. We're not weird.
No. With our long lens cameras. Like, Matt. Just use a super value bag as bait and leave it outside and be like, Matt.
He'd be like, oh my God, I have to get another one. Like, he's collecting
Matt,
them.
You in? What shop actually was it that Kate Middleton and Prince William popped into? Was that a super value?
It was a Landis. Yeah, and like a very small, tiny local Landis. So funny.
Like all of our local shops really really making it big. Actually, did you watch, speaking of Kate and Prince William, did you watch the BBC's Big Night In?
I didn't actually watch it, no, but I saw like some clips of it from this morning.
But Prince William did like a funny bit, like he was actually kind of funny, and I think everyone was very surprised by it. And then obviously Kate and William and the kids came out to like applaud for the frontliners.
So cute.
I thought that was really cute. Yeah, it was nice to see them do their bit, because we're going to go on to Harry and Meg's now.
Oh, geez.
Who are wrecking my head. Now, they're... Meghan's court case against the Irish Mail on Sunday is starting today. We're recording on Friday, so we won't go too much into the trial, because obviously things will have changed by the time some people might be listening to this.
Yeah.
But we can go through the basics. But before we get into the trial, I have to talk about that feckin' letter they wrote last week. Like, honestly,
I don't know.
It annoyed me so much.
Yeah, I just don't know what way they're going about this. And I'd say so many people that used to be on their team while they were still a part of the royal family are just like, what the hell are you doing? It's just so bizarre.
I'm actually doing my column on our Patreon about this week, right? Because what's really annoying me is this whole victimization, and the timing of this once again is horrific. Like, the timing when they did the ITV documentary being like, oh, no one's asked if I'm okay, they were meant to be promoting an impoverished country, you know what I mean? Like, the timing of some of the things they've done is deaf. Like, how do they think releasing a letter giving out to tabloids was what was needed right now, given that the whole world is in a pandemic? Like, what made them think, let's release a statement saying how horribly we've been treated? Sorry, like, no one cares.
Yeah. And like, do you not think it's crazy the way all these paparazzi photos are coming out of them in LA, and they're trying to be like under the radar?
This is the thing, I don't believe any of that. I don't believe any of it. And what I'm going to actually, I'm going to read out some of the statement that they read. Like, this is the thing that annoys me, right? If these guys actually genuinely came out, right, and were like, look, we don't want public life anymore, we don't want to be in the press anymore, we just want to be private citizens, that would make this very different. Then I'd be like, okay, fair play. But it's not that. They're picking and choosing what way they're going to be in the media. So she still wants to go on Good Morning America and promote her new Disney movie. They still want to talk to Vanity Fair and give them access to the fact that, you know, they did a video call with the Queen this weekend, which for her birthday, which loads of people close to the royals were giving out about, because apparently the Queen had said to everyone, let's do our calls and our video chats, but please make it discreet. She didn't want it to be in the press because she had told the public, like, of Britain to not really celebrate the birthday.
Yeah,
she was kind of like, you know, there's other things going on.
Yeah, like, normally they shoot off these cannons and everything on her birthday, and she like said not to do that and everything.
Yeah, so the fact that she had asked specifically for privacy on this occasion, and then they leaked it straight away. So yeah, I won't go into the full letter because I'll be here for 7 years, but basically they sent a letter just to, was it the Sun, the Mail, the Express, and the Mirror, I think. And it basically said, as the Duke and Duchess of Sussex now settle into the next chapter of their lives and no longer receive any publicly funded support. First of all, that's incorrect, because their security is still publicly funded. We are writing to set a new media relations policy. Like, the cheek of that sentence. You don't set media relations policy when you're no longer a senior royal family member. When you are basically just a citizen.
You're just a person of interest.
You're a person of interest. It's like if Tom Cruise sent us an email being like, hi, I have a new policy, I don't want you to write this about me. Sorry, tough shit. You're in the public eye.
Sorry, Tom.
Sorry, Tom, but no, I actually love Tom, so like, that's not the right person.
Sorry, Tom.
But like, you can't do that. Like, for example, I was thinking about it over the weekend because I saw a story about Orlando Bloom and Katy Perry. I notoriously had a run-in with Orlando Bloom's people before because we published
pictures.
Oh, God,
I forgot about that.
Yeah, we published pictures of Orlando getting very close to Katy Perry lookalike. And us, unlike many publications, we went to his team and we're like, we have these photos, we're going to release them. Have Katie and Orlando broken up. We weren't suggesting he was doing anything untoward, but we knew they'd broken up. That's the story we were trying to put out there. They got so pissed off with me, and then they gave the exclusive to People magazine, right? So another celebrity who claims they don't want to be in the public eye, but then gave a big exclusive. But anyway, at the time, they had like asked me not to publish the photos. But like, you can't be in public places doing public things as someone who's a celebrity and demand people not to post things. It's just not how media works. It's not how the world works. And especially if you're a celebrity couple, for example, take away the royal titles for a second, right? If we just look at Meghan and Harry as normal people, they announced their engagement on Sky News. They've put up photos together on Instagram. They've put up photos of their son on Instagram. Meghan used to go to red carpets all over the world. She pulled pints in Dicey's for a promotion a couple of years ago. She went to the Guinness storehouse. Like, she was on Expose. Lisa Cannon interviewed her. You cannot say with any sound mind that she is not a person of interest, because she put herself out there. And as a couple, they also put themselves out there. So when you look at this from a journalistic point of view, when we kind of ask ourselves, is it right to write about this person or not? Meghan and Harry have, on multiple occasions, put out their own stories. So like in the court case this weekend, Meghan said she didn't know five of her friends were going to give an interview to, it was US the Weekly,
People
wasn't it?
Magazine. People. Yeah, People.
First of all, I can't imagine five of her mates all went and did an interview without even mentioning it to Meghan. I don't think that's possible. But even in saying that, her even admitting that she knows five of her friends did that, she could easily have claimed that she doesn't know who those sources were. So again, it's just when things don't go their way, they give out. So basically in their letter, they said there was a human cost to the way that basically gossip news was going, and they tried to claim that some of the things that have been written have been based on a lie, but that they don't want to avoid criticism by sending out this letter. But to take us back to the court case, I actually think the court case is going to do more damage to them than good, because they're saying that lies have been written, right, and that it's not the truth. But the text messages released this week between Thomas Markle, Meghan's dad, and Harry and Meghan prove even more so that all the stories that were written around the time were right.
And like, that was like, she has since confirmed through all these court documents that that was the last time she ever spoke to her father. But yet she's been claiming that, you know, he's been upset over the press and that they've been hurting him and stuff. But like, she hasn't even been talking to him, so how would she know?
Yeah, and like, even reading through the text messages, like, she did try to send security to him. She wanted to know what hospital he was in. Like, you can see that she did care, but I just don't agree with... I think they're going to lose the case, to be honest. There is nothing about the case, to me, that makes me think they could win it. So one of the first things there she's suing them for is... what's the wording on it? It's basically publishing of the article. Or the letter, sorry.
If anyone isn't aware, she's suing Associated Newspapers, which is the publisher of the UK Mail on Sunday, for printing a private and confidential letter to Thomas Markle, who's her dad. And she's basically accused them of misuse of private information, copyright infringement, and breach of the Data Protection Act. And she's seeking damages. In response, Associated Newspapers are basically saying that she put the letter out into the public domain by telling her friends about it, who then spoke to People magazine and mentioned the letter. So that's their defense.
That's the thing. Like, that's one of the biggest things for me, to be honest. She is the reason that letter got put out there. And whether it was her or just her mates, the fact that her mates wanted to use her father in that way to say that she'd written a personal letter, that's her team and her friends and her circle putting her dad in that situation. So to blame the media for that makes no sense. Even, do you remember when her dad couldn't walk her down the aisle? Kensington Palace released a statement on it. Do you remember they said Prince Charles is going to walk her down? You can't then say you can't talk to my dad, you can't write about my dad. Once again, they put her father in the public domain. They didn't have to release that statement. They did. And that was a choice that they made. So always, like, and we do question this a lot. Like, obviously, when Caroline Flack, you know, lost her life to suicide, we were chatting about, like, what's right and wrong to be writing about and things like that. Someone who constantly puts their life out on social media, take away the titles and the public funding, that opens the door to criticism and to just being written your life just having your life written about, sorry. So like if you have a couple, let's say Vogue and Spencer, they're always on social media, right? So if they broke up tomorrow, obviously everyone is going to cover it because they've been sharing their journey. And like Meghan and Harry, whether they wanted to or not, they have been sharing their journey. Leaked information came out about a letter. No one in the public had ever heard about it before. So to blame the media for the printing of that letter is just wrong. And at the end of the day, I think people are forgetting, because I've seen people online giving out about the media. I think people are forgetting, like, a journalist didn't come in and rip the letter out of Thomas Markle's hand. Like, he wanted it to be published. So why is she not suing her father for misuse of private information?
And I think in their defense, which like in the hearing case that's taking place today, they're basically saying that Thomas gave them the letter because of that People magazine article. So that People magazine article came out, I think, before parts of the letter were published by the Mail. And it was that the letter was mentioned and stuff. And they're basically saying that he felt the need to release the letter in full.
Yeah, and that's what I agree with.
To show
and
what it
also
actually said.
From, I'm obviously not a lawyer or anything, but from understanding data protection and privacy laws, the main person that or entity that would be responsible for the publication of that letter is Thomas Markle himself, because he gave the letter to the newspaper. If the newspaper had stolen the letter out of his trash and printed it, that would be a reason to sue, I think. But the fact that he willingly handed it over, and apparently one of the big things about misuse of private information is you have to be told that something is private, and apparently nowhere in the letter did she say, don't share this with anyone, this is just between me and you. So when you break it down to the actual legal parts of this, I don't understand how they're going to win. And then one of the things she's suing for was a right to privacy or whatever, but they're going to lose that in about 5 seconds. Like, I know from working for the Daily Mail, I worked for the Mail on Sunday in Ireland before, I know from the legal team there that like once someone is slightly in the public eye, they're open to criticism, they're open to be written about. So like, for example, a celebrity who is married to someone, if that person isn't a celebrity, this is always a debate, like, can we write about their marriage, can we write about that person? But court cases like that have gone to court and they've been lost, because if you're married to Jennifer Aniston, it doesn't matter if you're a local butcher, like, the press will be able to write details about you. And so this idea of her being a private citizen, again, let's go back to Dicey's, going back to the Guinness storehouse, how could anyone in their right mind think that she is a person that's not of interest to the general public? And that's all before you actually go into the royal side of it. So when you actually go into that, the funding they've received, the costing of their wedding, a lot of people in particular are so angry about the cottage that they got renovated, because millions were spent on that.
But they've promised to pay that back, haven't they?
But my point isn't even that they owe the money. My point is this case is based on articles that happened throughout that while they were still senior royals. So I think the argument that they're not of public interest or things should be kept private, I don't think that can stand when at the same time publicly funded money were going towards their house. Because you remember one of the things they gave out about was the yoga studio, that there was a suggestion she was building a yoga studio in the cottage. But like, why is that question or criticism not allowed when the public were paying for it? Of course people would have a right to know where the money's going. Do you know what I mean? Like, from my perspective, if in our wages, Kendra, like, we were building a gaff for Leo Varadkar, I'd want to know if he has a jacuzzi like out the back, or is it just a normal house? So I do
a standard gaff.
Yeah, so like, I do understand it. So I think, like, to flip it on the other side, it's not that like I hate Meghan and Harry. I just got really frustrated with that letter because they only sent it to certain publications like The Sun and The Mirror. And The Sun in particular, I don't know if you guys listening follow Dan Wooten. He's like the head of entertainment for The Sun. He's so good. Like, not everyone likes him. He's a real love-hate relationship people. But in fairness to Dan, every single story he has written about Meghan and Harry has come true. Like, he wrote a story, Meghan and Harry are done with the royal family, they're going to leave. And everyone was like, ah, come on, as if. And then, boom, they were gone. He wrote that they were going to move from Vancouver to LA. Bam, they were gone. And every time he went to their people for a response, and he has said that, like, he never got responses back. So for Meghan and Harry to now send a letter being like, we're no longer going to work with you, they never were working. They were ignoring everyone.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. Exactly. I'd love to know, and I can't, I'm interested in the court case. I'd love to know what Meghan is going to say were lies and not true.
Yeah.
Like, can you think of any story like that sounded like a lie now?
Well, I think it's, she brought up the fact that that baby shower story was untrue. And that was kind of obvious. Like, how would she even spend 300 grand on a fucking baby shower? Like, you know, I think that was proven to not be true. And then also there was a story about a car park and that they had told people to not park in a car park by Frogmore Cottage on the grounds of Windsor Castle. And they said that wasn't true. I think the newspaper that had published that story actually had to release an apology saying that that wasn't the case end.
But this is what's annoying me. Why did they not just come back and immediately deny it? And then the story wouldn't have been published. This is what really gets to me, because I think a lot of people are seeing this from one side. They're seeing poor Meghan and Harry, like, dragged through the paparazzi, and Diana died and it's awful, blah, blah. But, like, there's two sides to all of these stories. And at the end of the day, I've never met a journalist in my life, that has made up a story from scratch. I've never met anyone who has told me that they decided, oh, we're going to write this story. Like, people hear things, people get told things, and it's our job to verify if those facts are indeed facts. And the main way to verify things is to contact someone's rep. And the fact that now they're banning all these tabloids from speaking to them, how are they going to be able to deny, or, you know what I mean? Like,
I think, like,
it's
going
to put them in a worse off position.
That's why we contact reps and give people the right of reply, so that they have the opportunity to be like, oh, that's not true. Like, it's so, it would be so easy for any of us to start a rumor about anyone. You know?
Yeah. And, like, the thing is, we and you, we both agreed there has been articles in the past that we thought were way out of order about Meghan in particular. Like, you know, associating her love for avocados with, like, a third world, like, war and, like, violence. Like, do you know what I mean? There was all these random stories. I do agree on those things. And I think if they had only focused on that, maybe there'd be more empathy for them. But to take a court case, I personally cannot see how they're going to win. And if it was, like, you know, the way the News of the World, that whole phone tapping scandal, right? That was an invasion of privacy, because that was listening in people's calls. And, like I said, if they went through Thomas Markle's trash, I'd be kind of in agreement with her. I'd be like, right, well, they shouldn't have done it. But
he gave it to them.
He gave it to them, and her people are the ones who brought up the letter. And the other thing is, right, a lot of people talk about the staged photographs between Thomas and the American paparazzi. Do you remember right before the wedding? And that's what began the fallout between him and Meghan and Harry. Now, so obviously what would have happened in that circumstance is a journalist or an organization would have definitely approached Thomas, I'm not denying that, to say, like, we'll give you whatever amount, $1,000, if you post for these photos. First of all, he might have just wanted the money. Secondly, maybe he wanted it, but at the end of the day, they didn't force him to do it. So again, I think only blaming the media in this situation just isn't the right thing to do. Like, she's not speaking to him anymore, which obviously means she thinks he's in the wrong. Because after the wedding, do you remember Thomas came out and said he hadn't heard from her and that the number had changed and that he had contacted her publicist and Kensington Palace staff and no one would put him through to her? So she literally cut him off. So does that not say to you, like, that she does blame him? So how can you sue the newspaper?
Yeah, like, it's even confirmed in the court documents that she has not spoken to him since those text exchanges back before, right before they got married.
One of the biggest shockers of those texts was how Harry spells you, as in the letter U.
I know.
Prince Harry. Oh my god, the Duke of Sussex. Like, he can't write Y-O-U in a text message.
So funny. And the way, I think the way the text messages were written were, like, so condescending, I think.
Yeah.
What did you think?
Yeah, definitely. Tom, it's H. Like, it's Harry.
Yeah, like, fuck off.
Fuck off.
Trust me, you don't want to speak to the press. Like, please.
And also then, do you remember Thomas was like, oh, I'm really hurt by this. And he was like, hi, Tom, Harry here. Is this you? Like, because he gave out to them, he was like, this can't be Thomas.
Yeah.
Like, it is him. He's fucking annoyed with you. Like, And the, and like this the, is the weird
crazy thing.
Thing
is, like, they haven't even met.
They haven't even They've never met. I think they did a video chat. Ever. Yeah. But the weird thing is, like, why is Meghan going through this? Now we actually get to see her dirty laundry. Those text messages never would have seen the light of day if she didn't do this court case. They're also going to be revealing the exact funding they've got. And I think that's what's going to win the case for Associated Newspapers, to be honest. This whole argument that they're not public figures is just dead. And, like, when they actually go through the figures, which they will, from Meghan's wardrobe to, like, the wedding to the house reconstruction to flights, like the Dublin visit they did, they're going to have to look at all those numbers. And there is no way any judge is going to look at that and think the public don't have a right to know what's going on with them. Yeah. When so much money was spent on them. So, I don't know. It's a tough one. And I think it's a really weird time for the media. Just after Caroline Flack died and now Meghan and Harry, there's a lot of discussion about how much should publications really be covering. But I think there's a balance. You know, like, the Mail are getting a lot of flack during this. But as well as them publishing, you know, the article about the avocado, for example, they did also publish photos of them feeding the elderly in LA. You know, doing something good. So it's just, I don't like this idea of control of the media, and I feel like that's what they're trying to do, and that's literally so against everything I believe in and what the world believe in, that, like, journalism and media were supposed to be this standalone thing that, like, creates discourse and criticizes and talks about things and promotes things. You can't just have everyone being like, oh, everyone's lovely. Like, imagine if the Harvey Weinstein story had come to the New York Times and they were like, ah, oh, do you know what, Harry's actually a nice guy, or Harvey's actually a nice guy, let's leave.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, the stories about them flying on private jets, 100% I felt they were necessary when they're literally promoting, you know, the what's the word, the crisis against, like, the global issues against the why can't I speak?
Global
environment. Environment. Yeah. So if someone's out there trying to raise funds and giving talks about lowering emissions and then they take a private jet, like, I think that article is validated. So I don't know. I do get it. Like, look, I know it can be really stressful to be written about, and even I have had stuff on social media that I didn't like. So, like, I can only imagine. And I'm not saying it's all correct, but at the same time, I think when you sign up for a role like she did, she can't just turn the switch off. She can't now demand a week or two after stepping down that now no one speaks about her. I feel like if this letter had gone out in a few months' time and they had really taken a step back from public life, it would have been accepted in a different way. But to do it now, when 2 days later she went on Good Morning America to promote her Disney movie, it just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, they're transitioning into a period where, you know, they've obviously stepped down as senior members of the royal family and they're going to be starting to make money themselves. And, like, how do you think they're going to try and make that money? Like, you know, they're not going to be just doing charity work. Like, they have to make money at the end of the day, and they're going to make that because they're public figures.
But this is the other thing that's weird, right, about banning the newspapers and speaking to them. They're supposed to be setting up this new foundation, Archwell, which is obviously after Archie. It's a non-profit, so you shouldn't have any regulations about who that gets sent out to. Because in doing this no corporation, zero cooperation stance that they have, it means that, like, those publications can't use, like, photos of them. They can't use information. But it makes no sense, because the other day, right, they did leak the information that they gave a video call to the Queen, and they also specifically mentioned Archie's name in it, and there was a lot of criticism over that, because they were saying, why are you telling people you don't want Archie to be in the public eye, but then you release something saying that Archie was in a video? Like, they're bringing him back into the public eye again, and they only gave it to certain journalists. So one of them I saw was, like, Vanity Fair. So even though it only went into Vanity Fair, the Mail still did that story, and so did we, because it's out in the public domain. So they actually can't really tell publications what to do, because once something's in the public domain, it's out there. If we see a verified report that Meghan and Harry have done something, we have every right to report on it. So I don't know. What do you think is going to happen with the court case?
I don't know. I think it's the start of a very long road. Like, the actual trial probably won't start until later this year or early next year. So it'll be interesting to see, like, whether Meghan will actually have to appear in court and give evidence, and she might have to give evidence against her father, and her father might have to be there. like it would be such a crazy moment in time to see them like going like up historic. Against each other in court.
I would like to see what Meghan would wear to the court, won't lie. Still like her style. Still like her style.
See, she's a matter of public interest.
But imagine, like, thinking back to the wedding, right? Me and you teary-eyed at that Penny's event. Like, if you had told me then that, like, Meghan would be taking one of the biggest media organizations to court and she would have stepped down as a royal alongside Harry, I would have laughed in your face. I would have been like, no. Because people had so many suspicions about Meghan when she came around, and everyone was like, she's going to mess things up. She's going to pull Harry away from the royal family. And even then I was like, ah, lads, come on. But now I'm like, oh, shit.
You know what actually annoys me about Meghan? It's annoying because I want to like her so much. Because it's like, you know, the people's princess. Well, not people's princess. She was an actress before. But like that whole kind of story. I just think if she like owned the fact that she does want this, not attention, but like she does want to be famous. And I think if she owned that fact rather than pretending, oh, we don't want this public life anymore, blah, blah. I think if she just owned it and was like, yeah, I'm fucking the Duchess of Sussex. Like, how are you? I think people would just like respect her a bit more. I don't know.
I think it's become so clear, though, that Harry and Meghan literally want to become celebrities, though. Like, why are they living in Hollywood? Like I said, if they like moved to, if they had stayed in Vancouver, right, and launched Archwell and wanted private life and wanted to spend time just with Archie, I would honestly view this so differently.
Yeah.
But because they're outwardly looking for commercial deals and they're working with the likes of Disney, the likes of Netflix, it annoys me because I've seen over the years celebrities give out about why they're written about and stuff when they're in the public eye. And like I said, there's sometimes where I do agree that things go a bit too far. Like Ireland actually isn't that bad, but like you know, some of the British tabloids, some of the US, like this is why it's weird they only sent it to British tabloids. Like I've seen covers of her and Harry on the National Enquirer when I was in LA in February. Yeah. And like they were way worse, the stuff they were suggesting. Like they didn't send any letters to them. It's massively just an attack on the British media. It's really weird. It's like she wants to continue to be written about in America, but she doesn't want to be in the UK. But even in the American publications, they were all like how Meghan stole the prince from the royal family. Like there were the kind of headlines. And there's no real defamation laws in America, so actually it's way worse what would be written about them there than what would be written about in Ireland. But yeah, I do agree with you. I think if she had become this people's princess that people so badly wanted and needed her to be, and that's where people I think are also getting annoyed. Like obviously it doesn't affect our lives, but the British public, they were like a symbol of so much to people. Like firstly, like they were in charge pretty much of all the Commonwealth tours, which is the much younger people. Like Harry and Meghan were kind of tasked with looking after youth that were suffering mental health issues, keeping youths off the street. And Meghan, obviously with her racial background, was a kind of symbol of like a new world and like how much of a big deal it was that she was a part of the royal family, and it was like going to bring a new future. All of that's gone now.
Yeah, I think it's like just disappointing for people.
And, like, to be fair, I don't think it's all Meghan. I know there's a lot of hatred towards Meghan. I do think Harry has wanted out for a long time. I don't think it's her being like, let's leave. Like, I don't think any woman could persuade someone to completely leave their entire family for the rest of their lives. Like, you know, I think he is a big part of it. But
I do think, to see like,
how the court case goes.
I've said it before. I do think like things definitely go on behind the scenes that we don't know about. And Harry has obviously wanted to not tell the royal family to fuck off, but that kind of like thing where there's definitely things going on that none of us know and none of us will ever know. And like,
but yeah, I mean, he massively fell out with Kate and William. And I think this is what started his kind of vendetta against the media, because it obviously leaked into the media that they were having problems. And there's been a lot of pro Meghan Harry people that have suggested that, you know, Kate and William's team are the ones that leaked a lot of this information. So there is this kind of idea out there that, you know, the royal family are evil and they've been trying to get Harry and Meghan. You know, that's a kind of train of thought that people are having at the moment. But at the end of the day, it's not illegal for a publication to write a factual piece of content. It's annoying that it got out, but he can't say that that's not true. And that's why I've been looking over a lot of the articles that have been written about them, and I cannot see the articles in a big way that relies, like, the fallout between Harry, Meghan and Kate happened. Every single royal correspondent has said it. Members of the royal family speaking off the record have said it. And I know when Harry was really going, giving out to all the media, do you remember they released a statement on their Royal Sussex website? And in it they suggested that, like, royal correspondents basically weren't real journalists and shouldn't be trusted.
Like, sound
like, wow. But, like, I've met and spoken to royal correspondents. They've literally dedicated their whole lives to the royals. They've written books.
Oh, sure. Like, they would be confidants. We saw it ourselves when we were following Kate and William around for that day. Like, there was loads of journalists that came over from the UK for that. And, like, that is their life. That's what they do. They follow these people around as their job.
Yeah, do you remember we overheard one of them saying they had been on the Canadian tour? Like, so I just think, in my opinion, Harry is just sick of the press. And, like, we all have to remember those Vegas naked photos that were released years ago. He obviously was pissed off.
How can we forget?
When that happened. How can we forget? He was obviously pissed off when that happened. And I think he's so in love with Meghan that to see such negative headlines about her, he just wasn't able to ignore it. But you look at William. Like, William and Kate have had huge rumours about them over the last 12 months, right? Ones that have not been written in Ireland or the UK because of defamation. But, like, they've faced massive rumours. William has never come out and been like, sorry, that's not true. Either has Prince Charles, either has the Queen. Like, unfortunately, this is their jobs. The public pay for their lives. They are public entities. And I know that when he married Meghan and when they had Archie, he and her decided they no longer wanted to be public entities. I get that. But you can't just decide one day that you're not going to be famous. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see what happens. Obviously, we're going to be following the whole court case on goss.ie if you have any interest. But before we go, I wanted to just touch on Khloe Kardashian and Tristan Thompson right now. I've been watching the new season, right? Have you watched the most recent episodes?
I haven't watched last night's now, but I'm going to do it later on. But I know the gist of what happens.
Is it out on Thursdays?
Yeah, it's changed.
Oh my God. Here's me thinking it's Sundays and I've been waiting until Monday every week to watch it.
No, it's Thursdays night. They changed it a while ago.
Wow, going to watch that tonight. But the one before that, Tristan's just in my face. Like, he's everywhere. I'm like, why is she giving him a check? Because to include him on the show is to pay him. So what's going on there? Like, the fact that they're together in isolation.
I'm honestly enraged by this now. Like, as someone who was
I'm enraged about Meghan, you're enraged about Khloe.
As someone who was so, like, involved and, like, needed to know all the tea on their split, the whole Jordan Woods drama. And then in the most recent episode, Khloe's talking about freezing her eggs. And she basically asked Tristan to give her his sperm so that they can have another baby and, like, make embryos. And I'm just like, Khloe! Like, it's actually bullshit how they basically ousted Jordan Woods and, like, you know, she was completely, like, talk about, like, putting someone on, what you call it, putting someone on a cross or something like that. But, like, and then 1 year later, she's considering having another baby with this guy. And yet Jordan Woods is, like, this devil. I just think it makes no sense.
Oh, yeah, I definitely feel they were way too harsh on Jordan. Like, if... like, why is she allowing him back in her life? Like, I know he's the father of True. That's fair enough. But to be putting him on the show...
yeah.
Like, is basically giving him validation, like, that he's grand. And to go to dinner with Kim, I nearly threw something at the TV when I watched that scene. It was so uncomfortable. I was like, what?
Like,
I think Khloe, right, is just, she's always been so baby mad that I don't know if she just now, like, right, well, I have a child with this guy, I might as well just keep going. Like, Courtney did that with Scott. They were constantly not together and fighting and breaking up. And then she'd be like, oh, I'm pregnant. And he'd be like, fuck's sake. Do you remember that scene when she told him she was pregnant with Rain?
It's so
He was like, what?
Yeah, it's almost like a business deal.
A sperm donor.
Like, it's so weird.
And I feel like Chloe's doing the same with Tristan. I just don't get it. I think there's more to the story that we don't know, because she's isolating right now with Tristan.
With like, him.
If any of my exes were isolating with me. Now, I know they live in a mansion the size of a shopping center, but like...
No, I'm sorry. If they're not riding, I will eat my hat.
My hat.
Seriously.
Like, this is impossible. After you'd have one, like, at-home martini, boom, like, back in the sack.
Yeah. So,
like, she's like, a sperm donor. Like, the fact that she's saying she wants to freeze her eggs, just go ride them. Like, you're obviously going to... Do you know what I mean? I guarantee you she'll be pregnant in, like, in 5 months' time, we'll get, like, a big photo being like... Guys, we're expecting again, and through prayer and healing, I've forgiven Tristan. I can see it.
Yeah, I honestly think that they are back together, and they're kind of teasing like Tristan being back in her life on the show to see what the kind of reaction will be, and kind of like just putting it out there so that people will kind of get used to it by the time.
So it's not a shock.
They actually do get back together.
Do you remember like a couple of weeks ago, even like 2 months ago, Tristan started commenting on Chloe's photos and everyone was like, back off. Yeah. But now, obviously, now that we're watching the show.
He's been at that shit for months.
Yeah, so now that we're watching the show, just the way it's filmed so long ago, now it makes sense because it's like, oh, they've been getting on. I just...
Yeah. And like the flirtiness between them is like, it's just so
obvious.
And
then the scenes... Did you send me something else, Tristan? Oh my God, you have to stop buying me things. I was like, oh my God, shut up. Why?
Like, I really want that Dior bag.
I want the Dior bag. But to have the cameras set up, it's very much like what you're saying. Are they just trying to trickle this in and show how nice Tristan's been?
I think they are.
So that instead of her just getting back with this cheating scumbag, it's going to be like, oh, well, you know, the last couple of months he bought her stuff. He's been seeing true. He's been coming up for surprise visits. Like, he's a good guy. Whereas if they were just back together, everyone would be like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know if I can handle this, Kendra. Like,
I just don't know.
I don't know if I can support her.
No,
still.
I can't.
Like, I know love is love and it's blind and we all make mistakes. But like, to so publicly ruin Jordan Wood's life as well, I just can't be here for this. If she forgave Jordan and there was some story leaked about Jordan and her, you know, having a convo, I'd be a bit like, okay, cool. But I just don't like that they literally kicked Jordan out forever and now Tristan's just like...
Yeah.
Actually, did you see Jordan on The Masked Singer?
No, I actually didn't.
Do you watch that show?
No. Do you?
So it's in the US. Yeah, I watch it sometimes just from YouTube and clips and stuff. So basically, it's the most bizarre concept, but all these celebrities sing dressed up as mad things. Like, they're in...
Oh,
like,
yeah. I've seen kind of clips online.
Yeah, like bunny rabbit costumes or whatever.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. It must be so hot in there also. But there was a kangaroo anyway. And
it was a Jordan.
There's celebrity judges. I know. She was Jordan. Yeah, it was Jordan. So there was all these the celebrity judges on the panel and they all tried to guess who the person is. And oh my God, what's her name? Jennifer.
McCarthy.
Right, let me.
Is it? Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Jenny McCarthy.
Yeah. She was like, oh, I get the feeling that it's Jordan Woods. Because I think they give some hints. Okay. Like, they would say something like, I think her hint was like, she was misunderstood. She'd been on a reality show. Something like that. It was very basic. It wouldn't be enough for you to realize it was her. But they were like the hints. And that was it. And then she was singing away. So they all had guessed loads of people. And then Jenny on one of her lists was Jordan. So anyway, then they kind of... It's like the X Factor. People get voted out. When you get voted out, you get unmasked. So you take off the head. The huge bobblehead on you. And obviously they took it off and it was her. But she was actually really good. And she did interviews afterwards saying that like... It was Jaden Smith, Will's son, that got her to enter. And apparently her and Jaden like... sing all the time and she's talking about bringing out an album. So I'm kind of like, you know what, Jordan's actually doing quite well out of this. She's gone into acting, she's gone into singing, she got her Easy Locks hair deal. Like, she's not... I think the Kardashians thought they could ruin her life and get rid of her, but I actually think she's like, you know what, fuck this, I'm gonna take this moment to do what I want and not just be Kylie's plus one. And in fairness, she's doing well.
Yeah, I just think like, obviously what Jordan did was wrong, and like totally think that she deserved the kind of backlash against her, but I just don't think it's fair that Tristan only a year later is now like welcomed back into the family. He's on the show, he's obviously getting money for being on the show, and Chloe's talking about having another freaking baby with him. It's crazy.
Yeah, I agree. No, like, I do agree. Like, I'm not saying what she did is grand. Like, obviously, if it was me, she'd be ousted out of my life and I would want her life ruined too. Like, obviously I would. But if it was the same situation and I allowed that man back in my life, I would feel so guilty. I would have to reach out and be like, look, I forgive you. I'm forgiving Tristan now, so I want to let you know I forgive you. And it's just... I know Chloe said in a Twitter Q&A that she has forgiven her, but she hasn't contacted her. She said that she's just personally forgiven
her. And, like, let's not forget that that wasn't the first time Tristan had ever messed up. Like, he had messed up freaking multiple times before that. Like,
multiple times.
Like, days and before she literally gave birth. And I think if they were to get back together... Like, it's insane.
Like, he induced her labor, basically, like, with his carry-on. But, like, the thing is, I think if they got back together... Just knowing what I know of him and his character, I think this is all a big, you know, like...
A game.
...race to try and get her back in this huge challenge, yeah. And, like, when they get back together, first year, new baby, grand. Year
he'll
two...
He'll do it again.
There'd be another story. Stassi will be gone.
Oh, my God, Kylie's Stassi would never do such a thing.
Kylie will be like, fuck.
Kylie will be locking Stassi up in her room, be like, stay there. Stay away from Tristan.
Yeah, imagine Kylie was like, Tristan's coming over, and she was like, throw a staff here.
She's like, get away. Like,
I actually like their friendship, though, I have to say. But I saw an article the other day about how Kylie's fans are like giving out that she's a clone of Kylie, because apparently Kylie got a tattoo of Stormy's name a couple of months ago, and apparently Stassi did too. And everyone was like,
I think
why?
They both got it at
why
the same
Stassi?
Time.
Yeah, like, they did. But, like, some of the fans are like, why would you have that on your body for the rest of your life?
Just honestly, if I was Kylie Jenner's best friend and getting to live in her gaff and borrow all her cars, I'd do whatever the fuck she told me to do.
You would tattoo Kylie on your face. Like.
I would not give a shit. I'd be like, yeah, grand, hon. I'll do whatever.
But it's just funny that, like, fans are noticing it. But I watched this interview with Stassi and Kylie did the other day. You know me. I saw her on... Keeping Up for 5 seconds, and then I googled her for about 3 weeks, but there is a Vogue interview with them. You should look it up, a video, and it's like the two of them asking each other questions. This is from ages ago, way before the Jordan thing happened, and in it they were like, oh, tell us about some of your funniest moments, or like how you became friends or whatever. And Kylie was like, oh my God, remember that time I used to follow you around? I like put my Find My Friends iPhone app on, and I used to like go and hide in the trees, and then I'd ring you and then I'd scare you. And Stassi was like,
what?
Oh my God, that was so weird. And Kylie was like, yeah, like I just always was stalking her. It's so weird you actually stayed my friend. Like, that was weird. And she was like, uh-huh. And then they just moved on to the next question.
Oh my God.
No, like Kendra, it was really weird. She did it for months. What the hell? She would show up at a house party knowing where she was because of Find My iPhone and wait in like the bushes or the trees and then jump out and scare her.
Oh my God, that's bizarre.
And then Stassi was like, ah. It was so weird.
Oh my God.
And this
Exposed.
Is the thing, like I love Kylie. I'm a Kylie stan. You know I am, but I did feel with Jordan after watching Life of Kylie that Jordan was kind of second fiddle, and it was kind of like, jump 100%. On this plane with me, come here with me. So I do kind of get why when this happened, Jordan took it as like her emancipation. And that could be why she didn't really apologize. Maybe she was like, fuck this, I actually can't deal with these people anymore.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm going to go and just leave it. Because remember when it all happened, me and you were like, why isn't she just saying sorry?
Yeah.
We couldn't understand. But now, maybe this is why. Like, look at her career now. She's got her own thing. And, like, your uncle's Will Smith, your grand. Like,
yeah, exactly. It's very much, like, clear that Stassi is, like, the new Jordan, though. Like, she's constantly with Kylie. You know what I actually noticed, which is a bit of tea now? Because Kylie seems to be in Kris Jenner's Palm Springs house at the moment, isolating. And Stassi was in one of her Instagrams.
Oh, my God.
I'm like,
Okay.
And first of all, Kylie was at her house, like, the other day. So she's obviously traveled to Palm Springs. I'm like, is that essential travel? I don't know.
Yeah. Did you see the photo I put up on Twitter the other day?
No.
The one
of Kylie looking, like, with no makeup on.
Yeah. And it was, like, gas and hilarious. But there was a part of me being like, where's she at? Like, she was going to Stassi's house or something in the caption. So she was just out and about visiting Stassi. But maybe, to be fair to them, they might only be seeing each other. I don't know. Do you know what I mean?
And maybe.
Then, because I know when the restrictions start to lift, etc., I think one of the first things they're going to allow is that people are going to be allowed to see people, but it's going to be up to a certain amount of people only. So they might be like, for the next month, you can see up to 5 people, but they have to be the same people. Apparently, that's going to be one of the things. So, for example, like, as in all of you have to be each other's people. I see, how is it going to be regulated? I don't know. But, like, for example, like, I would obviously make my family those 5 and go and see them. Yeah. But they, and I would have to be one of their 5. But then I'm like, what if they have other people as their 5? Oh, it gives me anxiety and stress. I'm like, just lock me up that makes forever. Sense.
Oh, my God.
I could drive by your house en route for, like, a drive-by hello.
Be like, beep, beep.
Beep, beep. I'm like, hey, Anyway, we're going to finish up because I actually have to go and interview Nicole O'Brien from Too Hot to Handle, which I'm so excited about.
Get all the tea about Bryce.
Oh my, this is what I say. I cannot believe her and Bryce are like getting, well, they're in chats with each other. How would you say they're communicating? Or is it proven they're actually together?
They said like they have a thing going on and they're going to see what's going to happen after quarantine and stuff. So who knows?
What a random thing that we now say is normal. Ah, sure, we'll see after quarantine.
I know, right? It's actually bizarre.
It's so weird.
Like how?
But yeah, we're going to get all the tea on Too Hot to Handle, what it was really like, what the girls were really like. I'm dying to know what Francesca was really like. Like, I need to know. And what the future for Nicole is. Because, like, I think, you know, she's got a massive following there on Instagram. I think she could be really big when things go back to normal, do you know? I think she could have a good career.
Yeah, I think she's like officially quit her job and everything and is just gonna be a person of interest, as they say.
Yeah, like as of right now she has 313,000 followers, and I noticed she's actually with Maura Higgins management now.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's really interesting. But yeah, so if you guys hadn't seen, we have a new weekly show called Goss Chats that goes out every Monday night at 9 p.m. and that's where Nicole is gonna be appearing on. So we're gonna go do a Zoom. I need to do my hair and makeup because she's an absolute ride, so I need to make sure I don't look like shit. And yeah, we'll give you more information on Goss Gives Back, and I hope you guys can give back with us. And yeah, also don't forget we are doing a very fun Met Gala competition with Andrew Fitzsimons Monday May 4th starting from 6 p.m. If you want to enter, post up a photo of a cool outfit. The theme for this year's Met Gala was About Time, so do your outfit, hair, makeup. Myself, Andrew, and then a top makeup artist, Ash K. Home, she does the Kardashians makeup too. 3 of us are going to judge, and we're going to feature loads of the looks on goss.ie and on Goss's Instagram on Monday night, May the 4th. So it'll be like doing a live red carpet like we normally do, except it'll be your photos. So yeah, should be fun. You're gonna have to dress up, Kendra, you know.
Oh my god, do I?
Yes. I'm dressing up. Obviously we're not entering, but we gotta get people in the mood. I'm definitely.
Ali, do you realize I've literally no clothes with me?
But I want people to be creative. Like, you throw on an all curtain, you know? I was thinking just hold a clock in a photo and be like, About time.
Oh my God, stop.
I know, we want people to glam up. There's going to be no red carpets for the foreseeable future. So we're like, get your hair done, get your makeup done. I'm going to use the MRS glam palette, Michelle Ragazzoli's palette. It's unreal to get my glam on. And yeah, well, I'll be interested to see what people are doing. I've been talking to a few people already who are getting their outfits together, and they're coming up with really creative things. So yeah, should be fun.
Bye.
Okay, bye guys.